This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wa baraka Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimin kathira tamma ma ba'd. I want to welcome you to our second session on VRIC conversations in preparation for the beautiful month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who witness the month of Ramadan, ya rabbil alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu to help us to go through it and grow through it, ya Allah, in the way that is most pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will benefit from Sha'ban, ya rabbil alameen. Brothers and sisters, you know that Sha'ban is already actually in, which means we have less than 30 days until Ramadan begin. So that's now, obviously, it's a very important time to plant the seed and water them so we can have the harvest in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So tonight, inshallah, we're blessed to have Sheikh Mikhail Smith come with us over here, alhamdulillah, to teach us, bidnillahi azza wa jalla, how to benefit from the month of Ramadan through the Quran, understanding the Quran properly, inshallah ta'ala. What are the ways of doing that? How we can benefit from our Taraweeh, even if you don't understand the Arabic language. Our Qari, mashallah, Ifdal Yusuf, is going to be our Qari, inshallah ta'ala, for the Taraweeh, bidnillahi azza wa jalla. So, many of us ask, hey, how do you guys even prepare for Ramadan anyway? How do you make sure that you finish the khatm? And how many times should you do that? And what should be my program with the Quran? And what is it makes it successful for you? So we have all these questions for you, inshallah, more bi'nillahi azza wa jal. So with that being said, I want to start with you. Welcome, ya jama'a. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykhna, for coming being with us here, alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullah khair. Thanks for having me. It's good Barakallah to be here, alhamdulillah.
We were just together this weekend in Cleveland, Ohio, mashallah. The weekend before that, we were in New York.
Yeah.
Mashallah, alhamdulillah. All over the place, and alhamdulillah, so much khair and barakah everywhere you go. May Allah bless you for what you do, Shaykh.
Barakallah feek. Jameen, Jameen, Allah
I want to start with you, Afdal. Barakallah feek. Jazakallah khair. Obviously, being a Taraweeh imam, there's so much fun in it, right?
You could say that.
It's very easy, mashallah, right? It's very easy. Tell us about the task. What does it entail to be a Taraweeh imam, really?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Sheikh, before I begin, I was reminded by a saying in Arabic, اغنى الصباح عن المصباح. When the morning is here, you don't need lamps. And the shield are here, mashallah.
كلاكما مصابيح الدجى ان شاء الله تعالى.
But alhamdulillah, I have Allah subhanahu has given me the opportunity to lead Taraweeh for quite a while now, alhamdulillah. And it's a responsibility that I know myself and a lot of Hafad, we don't take very lightly. And it may seem as if it's very heavy, because it is, Sheikh. I mean, it's a very big responsibility that a lot of Hafad now are probably sweating. But, you know, there's plans and all that to help ease the pressure.
So how much do you usually dedicate in the month of Ramadan just for the Quran? Knowing that your biggest task in Ramadan is to lead the people in Taraweeh. So how much is the average time that is really required for someone to be able to have the Quran in their hearts and easy to recite that in Taraweeh? Half an hour a day? Wow, is it funny?
No. I don't mean to laugh.
Maybe 15 minutes, right? That's all what you need, mashallah.
No, you see, when somebody is used to doing revision, Sheikh, they don't really review specifically for Taraweeh. So alhamdulillah, you know, there are a lot of faith that, mashallah, the revision is so, in Urdu they say pakka, or yani qawi, mashallah, very strong. They just look over it a few times before Taraweeh, but that's not their Quran goal throughout the day. They have their own cycle, but outside of that, they have Taraweeh. So Taraweeh is our extra, alhamdulillah. If that's our main goal, then we should be reviewing more, unfortunately.
So you're saying that this is not just a Ramadan?
No.
You don't review only in Ramadan, right? No. And if someone memorized, let's say, 5 juz, 3 juz, or even 10 juz or something like that, what would you recommend for them? How often should they be doing actually that revision?
Well, if somebody has memorized 5 juz, that means they have already started the process of memorizing, Sheikh. So that means they're very, they're accustomed to the process. So I would suggest that if you memorize more than 3 juz, you have to finish it at least 3-4 days. Or else it's going to go away. As the Quran, Sheikh, you know, it runs away.
And what is the best way to retain the Quran then?
People ask for a secret formula. There is no secret formula, Sheikh.
So you don't have anything, any like pills you give people so they can memorize quickly?
SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah. Or download, MashaAllah, the Quran in your mind.
Sheikh, you know, I asked my Sheikh that, and he's like, I would give it to you, but I myself don't know how to answer.
SubhanAllah.
But, you know, I just constant repetition. If you look at the Salaf, Sheikh, they used to recite the Quran. Imam Shafi'i, I mean, he used to recite 60 times a day, Sheikh.
SubhanAllah.
This is Imam Shafi'i, and my memory is nowhere near Imam Shafi'i.
So
I need to do more, to be honest. But repetition is the key.
JazakAllah khair, barakAllah fikum. Sheikhna, Sheikh Mikhail, now that we know how much we need to dedicate our time to the Quran in the month of Ramadan, what's the value of doing that in the month of Ramadan? What's the special connection that the Quran has with the month of Ramadan?
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. I mean, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. This is the month of the Quran. It's the month that we're celebrating the beginning of this revelation, which gives us guidance, which brought us from darkness to light, which gave us a path to walk on. It's the month that the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam would double his revision with Gabriel, like more than he would do regular. He would go over and over. So this is the month of the Quran. It is the month that we celebrate, we bask, we sit in the light of that Quran and benefit from it. I think all of us know it through Tarawih, right? There is an intrinsic understanding of standing with it at night behind the imam. But there's something deeper. It's connecting in a deep personal level with the Kitab of Allah.
No.
A personal connection. It's not just about Tarawih. That's not it. There's a deeper personal connection that we want to seek in the month of Ramadan with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tonight, I know, you know, we're gonna be talking about this, but there's different ways of that connection.
No.
But I would say the beginning of this all starts with that verse of the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. This is the month where that huda came. And this is the month where we listen to it. We listen over and over again.
And now I know, Sheikh, we know that there's, alhamdulillah, the value of reading the Quran is for every letter that you recite, you'll get 10 hasanat,
yes,
multiplied to 700. And Allah gives subhanAllah even more and more. There's no doubt about this. But someone might say, well, look, you guys are blessed. You're Arab, right? Or you're muftis. You easy can read the Quran, mashallah. What about me? I'm a miserable person. Barely I could even speak English, let alone read Arabic. Yani.
Allahu Akbar.
So how am I going to be benefiting from the Quran in Ramadan?
Okay. Bismillah. This is deep. This is very important. There's a hadith, Sheikh, that I'm sure you're aware of. من شغله القرآن, whoever is busy by the Quran, and مسألتي, they're so busy, the hadith says, that they don't get a chance to even make dua. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll give this person the best of what the people asking are getting. So the hadith is saying, if you're giving priority to the book of Allah, if you're giving priority to the kalam of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving priority to you. Now, what's interesting, I was speaking to a scholar, and they said, Sheikh, it doesn't say man qara'a, it says man shaghalahu al-Qur'an. Whoever is just busy with the Qur'an, busy with it. And this is important because I think a lot of us get in this understanding from different cultures that if I'm not reciting the Arabic words, I'm not engaged in the Quran. If I'm not sitting there holding the Mus'haf, reciting the Arabic words, doing as fast as I can to get through another juz, then I'm not busy with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So there's a value in reading the Quran in English, Urdu,
ya
Spanish,
Rab,
whatever language that people speak.
Ya Rab, this is to me such, and I don't want to patronize at all, but I want everyone to understand, it is lazim, and I want to build this up. I want you to understand, it is necessary for everyone in this room to read the Quran in their mother tongue at least one complete time. It should be something done regularly. And the proof is, Kitaban anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. What's the next word? Liyadabbaru. The Quran, Allah says, it is a book that we sent down, it is blessed. Now we all want that barakah in our lives. We want to get that barakah. But then the purpose mentioned is liyadabbaru, so that you can ponder and you can think about it and you can interact with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for many of us, that won't happen through the Arabic language. For many of us, that tadabbur al-Quran is gonna happen when you pick up a translation And there are many of them. We could talk about that later on. Uh-huh. But you pick up a translation and you connect to the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in your own mother tongue. And I don't care what language, if it's Urdu, if it's English, whatever language it is, I don't understand how a person over the age of 18, 17 has not read the whole Quran one time in their own mother tongue. It's subhanAllah, if you get a letter before, you know, when you were engaged and, you know.
It's been a while, Sheikh.
And he got a letter. You got a letter, man.
I'm reading it.
You're reading the letter. You don't and memorize it. He memorized it.
Revision.
And he reminds her what he said. Like, remember you said this, right? No, like, subhanAllah, this is a message from our Rabb.
SubhanAllah.
It is guidance in the nighttime, in the dark moments.
No.
But you haven't, and I'm not patronizing, I'm reminding myself and you that you have to pick up a translation so that you can connect to. Let me, Sheikh, I want to go a little deeper here.
Bismillah.
I promote and I want people to understand that you need to have what's called a transactional relationship with the Book of Allah. Mm. Now, transactional seems like a dirty word. Like, what do you mean by that? What I mean by is it's a give and take, like communication. It's not one way. Many of us read the Quran almost in a one way without understanding Allah is speaking to us, and when someone speaks to you, there should be some response.
It's conversational, basically.
Exactly, Shaykh. Nah. So I'll give you an example. SubhanAllah, in so many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. He asks a question. Alaysa Allah bi ahkamil hakimin?
No.
Right? Now, subhanAllah, I remember just converting and sitting next to, mashallah, years ago, standing in prayer next to, you know, an Arab brother, and the Imam goes, Alaysa Allah bi ahkamil hakimin? He's like, Bala wa na la dhik. And I'm like, subhanAllah.
But Sheikh Salat Badala right now.
Huh?
His Salat Badala right now.
Yeah,
if you move too much.
If you move too much. No, my point, brothers and sisters, is that if Allah asks you a question, if anyone asks you a question, it's because there should be a response.
Mm.
So throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ? Are you not pondering over the book? Now, if you want a proof from the seerah, they say, when Aisha, one of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, described how the Prophet ﷺ recited, she said, harfan harfan, when he would get to a verse of Jannah, what would he do? He would stop. Ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, oh, I want this. And then he would read, and he would get to a verse of Jahannam. Oh, protect me, ya Allah.
Ya Allah. So made dua and engage with the Quran.
He was engaged.
Jazakallah khair.
And so many of us, we're just, and you're like, why isn't it really changing? Now, I want to say, I want to have adl. We need to have balance.
No.
you're dissing all the Quran teachers.
I am. No, we need balance. Every harf is barakah. No
course.
Doubt.
No.
But as Ibn Atala Askandari, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَوَّنَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Allah gave different colors to the different ibadah because he knew how we get bored with one thing.
No.
So my thing is that we need balance in our relationship with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
Don't, now if you understand the Arabic, alhamdulillah, fabiha, just read straight through it, alhamdulillah, but also take your time to understand what's being said.
Allah.
So I don't want anyone to walk away from here saying, oh, Shaykh told us don't do khatams.
No, we're going to talk about the khatam, inshallah, how to understand
yeah.
that. Ifdal, in regards to the subject of khatam right
yeah,
now.
No.
The khatam is when you finish the Quran from cover to cover, right?
No.
So that's it. Now, I know that many, many people would come to Ramadan, their biggest goal, one of their highlight achievements for them is to do khatam from cover to cover. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, you know, right now, but I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to reflect on it for yourself. How many times in your lifetime, doesn't matter how old or young you are, how many times in your lifetime already you've done khatam from cover to cover? Just answer yourself this question. Don't have to raise your hands for it. How many times in your lifetime, if you're 20, 18, 15, 50, or even older than that, how many times can you really count the number of khatam you've done in your lifetime? And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. If you're able to count them, you're only falling behind. If you only can count them, then you're already falling behind. Because you're supposed to say, honestly, I don't remember anymore. That's the blessing, alhamdulillah. But how to do that? What's your best advice for people who would like to start doing khatm in the month of Ramadan, not to fall short, and then at the end of Ramadan they would say, oh my God, I'm 10 juz behind, so this is it, I can't do it anymore.
SubhanAllah. Sheikh, that's a question that everybody has. Mm. But I feel like that question can be answered through the lens of every other ibadah. Mm. I want to do such and such ibadah, and I find myself in the last 10 nights, I have not kept up with my goal in the first 20 days. I think the answer lies in planting the seeds in the months before. Quran, Sheikhna, is a lifestyle. It's not just a book that we read. And subhanAllah, because my Sheikh, he used to say that if you don't make Quran, if you don't eat Quran, you don't sleep Quran, you don't breathe Quran, you don't read Quran, you don't think about Quran the minute that you're away from it, the goals that you have may stay low, and sometimes you may not even be able to achieve them. If you want to improve as Hafidh al-Qur'an, Hamil al-Qur'an, Ahl al-Qur'an, you want to become among those who are people of Qur'an, Qur'an has to be your lifestyle. So that...
Like if you don't do it, you feel something is missing from your day.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, I remember I was listening to a talk by Sheikh Abdul Rashid al-Sufi, who was very famous. He was telling us an account of his teacher. He once went back to his father. His father said, how many times do you finish Qur'an? He said, I finish, you know, once every week. His father said, only that much? Only once every 7 weeks? Do you know what that means? The from the 7 days, you have not, the Quran has not reached your eyes, you know. So that in itself, how do you do that? It seems very lofty, Sheikh. You know, when somebody is a beginner or somebody who just starts their journey in Quran, he says, I cannot do that. But when somebody is addicted to something, Sheikh, and I'm sure both of you, Sheikh, know better than me, that when you feel like you need something, there's no, you make your schedule around it. You know, and that's when we start to break it down to a science.
So it's basically everybody has their own pace.
Of course.
We can't say this is the way you do it. Because if you're going to say, hey, read before Fajr, read after Dhuhr, some people don't even have time after Dhuhr because they have to go back to work, for instance.
Exactly.
So everybody at their own pace, they can find. But if you say, like you said, if you make it a lifestyle and you make sure that you do it regardless of the circumstances, you'll be able to do that.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes when it comes to, there's a few levels of this, right? I'm going to start at the highest level. You're a half of the Quran. If you're a hafidh of Quran, the number of khatams that you can and may be able to do in Ramadan are going to be very high, right? Wow. I would say you prioritize that. Allah has gifted you with the book of Allah, and bask in that beauty, bask in that gift that Allah has given you.
MashaAllah.
And even someone who has memorized a decent portion of the Quran, you can read very fluently, you can read very quickly. Bask in that beauty, enjoy those words. Every letter has a different light. Every letter has a different barakah. So benefit from that. Mm. And now we get down to people who struggle to recite. And here my advice is, in Ramadan, give Quran time, don't set amount.
Yes.
Give it time. Give it time. You will make yourself feel bad if you compare yourself to someone else. Don't compare yourself. You are on your own journey to Allah. Stop looking at the next person. Stop looking to your left and your right. Who cares what that brother or sister is reading? But if you've made improvement in this Ramadan, that's all that matters between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So our goal should be growth.
Growth.
Like last year, I did 20 juz. This year, I would like to finish the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. Last year, alhamdulillah, I was able maybe to recite, I was able to recite the Quran all in Arabic, alhamdulillah. This year, I'm going to make a commitment to read it in English as well, too. So everybody has their own goal, but it's a matter of growth.
Yes.
Which brings us, Sheikh, right now to the very important point about the month of Ramadan, right, about the Quran. At-tadabbur, at-tafakkur, right? The whole purpose of us engaging with the Quran is to get that conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a very personal level and understand it so we can apply it in our life. Because the Quran is a manual. It's the manual for our living. So let's begin, first of all, for those who understand the Arabic language. If someone says, alhamdulillah, I do understand Arabic language, but obviously we don't know everything perfectly.
Yeah.
What tafsir would you suggest for them? Tafsir in Arabic.
Yeah.
We suggest for them as something simple and easy, where they can maybe say, this year I'm going to make khatim of this tafsir, inshallah ta'ala, if possible. What would that be?
Yeah, okay, so we're speaking specifically about a group of people who understand Arabic, can read some Arabic, and they want further depth. Now, remember, you can read a tafsir that is many volumes, like Qurtubi or something, you're not going to finish that. That's too much depth.
For Ramadan, it's
for
course,
Ramadan,
yes.
Right? Especially if you want to do other ibadat. And there are other short tafsirs, for example, Tafsir Jalalain is a very short tafsir. It's mentioned to have just as many letters of tafsir as letters in the Quran.
MashaAllah.
Meaning it's literally just double the size. Tafsir al-Munir is another example of a very short, brief tafsir. And so if a person wanted to add a little bit of learning, a little bit of to enhance that tadabbur, then they could use that. But I would even say something different, Shaykhna. I would say that in the month of Ramadan, I would like a person to the tadabbur how the verse affects them. Like your ta'alluq.
So do you suggest they take journals?
Journal while
like
you're reading.
While you're reading tafsir, reading the Quran itself, somehow, subhanAllah, something clicked, something just kind of touched your heart.
Yeah.
Before I forget it, I just write it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Just write it down. So by the end of the month of Ramadan, when you go on to put that, to look at what you've learned from the Quran, it's a treasure.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a treasure.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to highlight here is, if you're going to pick up a tafsir, so be it. Now, I personally don't recommend like picking up very bulky tafsirs. There's so many ibadahs we have in Ramadan. It's not really a time of extra education, extra learning. It's more at a time of ibadah.
And ibadah and spirituality.
Yeah, exactly.
And so. Now, Sheikh, there's some masahif nowadays, mashallah, they're very fancy and colorful, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in red, and they have all the tajweed in different colors and
so on.
But one thing that I've seen, alhamdulillah, becoming very popular these days, the masahif that has meanings of word and the margin, the footnotes as well too. Do you think this is something
amazing
that has a value?
Amazing.
No.
Because it's small. It's small.
So it's not like tafsir.
Exactly. It's a you see a word and you're like, I don't know what that is. You could look at it and then keep going. Right? Look at it and keep going. Look at it. But to open up some very bulky kind of tafsir and start your academic journey in the month of Ramadan. This is the month of qira'ah. This is the month of reciting. This is the month of connecting to the Book of Allah. This isn't the beginning of your academic career to become allama, mufassir, this, that, you know?
Brother Afdal, for you, when it comes to trying to understand some of the ayat that you recite, it touches you, but I want to know, what does it mean exactly? What's your favorite tafsir that you go to?
Well, I'm studying right now with Sheikh now.
So here's your tafsir, mashallah.
Well, whatever he recommends.
Living tafsir, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, he's a student. His grades are pretty good, mashallah.
No.
He's
shortcut. I just go straight to the sheikh instead of going to the book itself, right? No.
No, so we're studying Jalalain together.
No, alhamdulillah.
And part of the way that we study the book together is how the verses connect to you.
Yeah.
No.
Right? How the verses connect to you so that when you... It's your question, my bad. I mean,
no. But usually, sheikh, for let's say, for example, I'm leading or salawat, and even for the am, you know, for when they come for taraweeh. I think just echoing Sheikh Mikhail's thoughts, it's not about, you know, the tafsir before you go to taraweeh, because when people go to taraweeh, 8 rak'at, the imam reading a bit slow, the imam sometimes he's busting out alif lam mim and maghrib, you know, I'm trying to eat my iftar, things like this. But whenever we start seeing taraweeh as some place to, I would say, manifest the readings I'm doing. For example, let's say the second night we're doing Ali Imran. Instead of me saying, okay, now it's Ali Imran, I'm ready for Ali Imran, just physically my legs are ready, I get my heart ready, meaning I read the verses, I read the meaning, I know which part he's talking about, I look at the ayat. Alhamdulillah, Valorange does a great job of saying the ayats before. I look at those ayats, I look at the verses, so that way when the imam is reading it, it hits me better. I feel it more. And Taraweeh is not, okay, 8, I'm out of here. I want to finish my part because I read it before.
So when someone come to the Taraweeh, already read the tafsir, and they know exactly which portion you're going to be reciting. So when they hear the word Ali Imran or Isa ibn Maryam, for example, they know, oh, he's reading on that section.
Exactly.
And I read about this one. It keeps him engaged in the recitation.
Absolutely, Sheikh. A lot of times for Taraweeh, we get the ankles and the knees ready, but the heart's not ready,
Sheikh.
When the heart is fertile and ready, Quran, even if the imam is reciting in, you know, what some may seem as a flat voice, it still hits. Because Quran is kalam Allah.
Allah,
right?
It's so the power in the word itself is not the voice of the imam, right?
Exactly. It's maybe, it's لو انزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته
خشيعا. SubhanAllah. Sheikhna, now, I'm not Arab. I don't understand Arabic, so it doesn't matter what tafsir, but translation. Is that also considered tafsir? And if so, what the best translation you could recommend for us?
Okay, I love this question. Because there's this feeling, a lot of people have this feeling that by picking up the translation, I don't know what I'm getting. I don't have that connection. And quite the contrary, there are a number of translations of the Quran. Sheikh, when I got interested in Islam when I was 18 years old, Arabic, what is Arabic to me?
That was 2 years ago?
Put a zero after that too, Sheikh.
You're still young, Sheikh.
Okay, so Sheikh, I walked into Barnes & Noble and I picked up a Quran in English and I started reading it. And as I'm reading it, tears are coming down my eyes, my cheeks, because I'm saying this book is so familiar to me. This book feels so close to me. This book feels, I feel like I already know what it's going to say next. What I'm trying to tell you is some part of that mu'jiza of the wahi, some part of it, I don't know how, but it comes through. Of course, all of it doesn't, but some part of it comes through. One of the simplest, clearest Qurans is the clear Quran, Mustafa Khattab.
No.
Clear Quran, you can get it anywhere for free. The masjid probably has a box of them somewhere.
Yes, we do.
Right, you do, right? Exactly. The clear Quran by Dr. Mustafa Khattab is so beautiful. Sheikh, you sit with me in Jalal, eh? What do we reference?
No.
You ask us.
I ask you, what does clear say here? What does clear say?
And even if you go to one of the popular websites on the internet, Quran.com,
yes,
the standard translation is actually Mustafa Khattab.
Yes. As well. And so my recommendation is, you know, Sheikh.
But Sheikh, what makes a translation a good translation?
But though? That's not for the average person to differentiate.
I see.
You have to work with a bunch of translations and understand the different styles of translation.
So if you like English literature, and you like, there you go, you want the thou, thy, and all that kind of, you know, that's used, for example.
Yeah, but if you want straight, just what does it say, and not making it more beautiful or
simple, standard
clear.
English.
That's why it's called clear.
Clear Quran.
Another beautiful is the Oxford by Abdul Halim.
Very
good. Very beautiful, very beautiful. But I wouldn't say that, you know, that. Those are very good. There's another one that I personally like a lot. Many people don't vibe with it as much, but the Gracious Quran is another one that is a beautiful translation. So those are three right at the top of my list. For most simple English, straightforward, if I was going to meet a non-Muslim and say, I want you to read this, I'm going to give them clear Quran because of how clear it is, actually.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide their hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Sheikh, tips on how to better understand the Quran. We don't have much time, basically, in Ramadan, like I said, to study it in depth. But alhamdulillah, at least I'm going to dedicate extra time with the Quran. So I want to be at least prepared. I want to grow in my understanding of the Quran. So if there are any specific tips that you can give us on how to grow your understanding of the Quran quickly this month of Ramadan.
Okay, Bismillah. When we asked Hafiz Abdul how to get ready for Taraweeh, first thing he said to all of us is, the real Hafiz doesn't do it in Ramadan. That's the first thing he said.
Yep.
The real Hafiz doesn't do it in Ramadan. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say something similar. We have to make an intention to learn more Arabic, learn more through the year, not just a Ramadan thing, right? So my recommendation in Ramadan is gonna be two things. It's going to be to pick up a translation and read more. Connect so that you can answer those questions. You can respond, you can listen to what Allah is asking you, and you can respond to those questions and answers.
And when does it start?
It starts now.
Tonight?
It starts now.
No.
It starts now. When you have a track meet, you start warming up before, right? You get ready before.
And we still have, alhamdulillah, about 28 days before Ramadan.
How many? Now, I know you said you don't, but Hufaz don't get ready for Ramadan, but right now, people are like, okay, stretching out,
no.
Right? So similarly, right now, start reading more. And I want to emphasize something that Sheikh said. Quran has to just become part of your life. The ma'duba, it was called ma'duba in the hadith. It's where you feast at. It's what you go back to. You know, listen, let me give an example. We have an example now. All of us just go back to our phones. We know it. It's just a reflex. It's a reflex. So if I said this 15 years ago that just always go back to it. It would have been hard, maybe 20. It would have been hard to give an example of something people always just keep going back to involuntarily.
And Sheikh, you know, even where each app is actually on the screen itself. Yeah.
It's here. And to the point, we all know that we open apps without even intending. Can you imagine if you started opening Quran app without even intending?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what level you're connected? You're connected. And I say this, like, I heard a well-known sheikh talk about Imam Majid from Maryland. Of course, sheikh knows him. And he said about him, I traveled with him from Maryland to overseas. And he said all he did throughout the journey, we talked a little. Other than that, he was just reciting. He was just reciting. Just reciting. And wallah, it's not that hard. It's not as hard as you think. And what Sheikh said to us is, some things begin a little difficulty, but when you start them, I'll say this clear, whoever starts going to the gym working out, the first few days is kind of like, man, why am I doing it? After a while, they get used to it. Not even used to it, they're like, man, I gotta go. Same way with the Book of Allah, guys. No. Same way with the Book of Allah. So to my convert brothers, I say this, number one, read the translation. Read the translation. I'll say this to them. You reading the translation, subhanAllah, you're probably understanding, people are going to get angry at me, you're understanding more than some of these people who have been Muslim their whole life. Because they haven't ever read the translation. So don't feel bad reading a translation. I say that because sometimes you feel like they're reading the real thing, I'm not. No, you're understanding it. You're understanding it. Do not be shy to pick up the tarjuma, the translation, and actually read it in your mother tongue. You will cry, you will connect, it will hit you differently.
JazakAllah khair. Barakallahu bik. Ifdal, memorization. Somebody might say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I read the Quran, I'm easy with that. This year, I wanna dedicate my Ramadan to grow in my memorization.
Yes.
I know a few surahs, but I wanna have a longer surah so I can dedicate for my tahajjud and my taraweeh or maybe my qiyam in the future, inshallah. What tips do you give them to how to memorize properly?
SubhanAllah, some brothers and brother already reached out to me and asked this. Well, the first thing that anybody wants to achieve Quran and memorization, it requires Shaykh consistency. Because if you don't have a set schedule in reviewing and have a set time in memorizing, your day becomes, you know, it becomes muddled. So it becomes, okay, one day I'll memorize, one day I won't. One day I'll review, one day I won't. And with Quran, if you don't give your 110% effort and focus, it's not going to come in easily. So in order to memorize reading, alhamdulillah, we can set the time, but memorization takes another level of sacrifice and focus. It becomes with consistency. You have to set a time every single day that this day, no matter what day, rain, shine, tired, kids, whatever, even if it's 20 minutes, that time is precious and I need that to, if I'm not memorizing, I'm reviewing what I know.
JazakAllah.
Can I add to this?
Please, I have another question for you though.
Okay, I got you. I love you guys are so blessed.
Answer the question,
okay,
please.
Sorry. I'm fanboying here, man. I was with Sheikh this weekend. It's so beautiful. MashaAllah. Okay. Anyways, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Anyone memorizing the Quran, our teachers always told us to stand with it at nighttime.
Yeah.
That is the best thing you can do when Allah has gifted you with a verse. You don't get it, yo. The best thing you could do when Allah has blessed you, gifted you, get a gift, it's a gift, gifted you with the memorization of a verse, is to stand in Qiyam al-Layl that night. Nobody sees you in your room and you recite back to Allah.
Iqtarabat as-sa'atu wa inshaqqa al-qamar. Sheikh, you'll be talking to him.
Yes! And you're giving back to him what he gave you.
And he'll be talking to you, subhanAllah.
Now, the reason I say this is because, yes, concentration, focus, dedication. But if you really want to be about that life and you want to memorize in Ramadan, stand with it at night. Memorize a few with the intention, tonight I'm just going to stand with these. Now, what if you only memorize 3 verses? Well, guess what? One night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala al-habib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night stood reciting one verse into adhibhum fa innahum ibadak wa in taghfirhum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. He just read it and then he went back, read it again. Like when Afdal got that letter from wifey, read it again.
Sheikh, come on.
Valley rats, I chill too much, so forgive
me. I have a special question for you.
No, everyone understand. You memorize and stand at night.
No.
Stand at night. Allahu
Akbar. May Allah bless you, Ya Rabbi Al-Amin. Sheikh, question. A sister might say, well, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. But I have to maybe stop for 6 days, 7 days, 8 days. I don't have that same connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that fashion. So in this case, you would say, what do I do? How can I still benefit from the Quran even though I am unable actually to read?
Bismillah. I would say, if you've listened to me up till now, then you should understand what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that in that time that you're not able to recite, sister, or you're not reciting, pick up that translation. You can connect to the meaning. It says, man shagalahu al-Qur'an. It doesn't say, man qara'a, only qara'a, qara'a, reciting. It says, man shagalahu. The person is busy with it. And I would even say, you may be getting something deeper, more profound, more spiritually impactful than the ones who's reciting without any tadabbur. Imam Suyuti, I took these notes. I wanted to share something my wife sent me. She's an amazing woman, mashallah. May Allah bless her.
Ameen.
So she sends you reminders?
Yeah, yo, she, yo, yo.
Not the shopping list, yeah.
Not the shopping list, yo. No. Listen to this. Imam Suyuti says these words. وَتُسَنَّ الْقِرَاةَ بِالتَّدَّبُّرِ It is sunnah to recite with recitation. وَتَفَهُمْ Listen. And with understanding. فَهُوَ الْمَقْصُودَ الْأَعْظَمُ Reflection on what it actually says is the highest objective of the book. That is the highest objective of the book. For you to connect to what the meaning is. If I wrote you a letter, and my penmanship was good, it's horrible actually, but just pretend. If I wrote you a letter, and then you responded to me, Sheikh, I got your letter. The penmanship was amazing. I'd be like, all right, but did you get what I was trying to tell you? Like, can you respond to what I asked you? I asked you if da 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 da. No, I don't know what you were saying, but yo, your T's when you cross the T, but what? I mean, like, how do you make S's like that?
Right.
And I'm like, well, hold on, I asked you for something. You're like, yeah, yeah, but the T's, man. Teach me. La! Imam Suyuti says, هو المقصود الأعظم. If you're not able to recite, you're able to connect. And connection is what the objective, actually is.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Sheikh, that reminds me of somebody who loves to listen to Quran, and they get obsessed with maqamat and the tones and things like that. And they just say, I love the Sheikh, I love the Sheikh. What's the ayah talking about? Allahu a'lam, I don't know.
Well, that also works for the khatib as well too. Mm-hmm. Like you give a khutbah, and at the end, people, they come out, they come to you, say, that was amazing khutbah. And you say, what was it about? They say, about 25 minutes. So that's all what they remember, the 25 minutes. What was in that in the khutbah? God knows. Last question for you, or before actually we close, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. As an imam of Taraweeh, there are things that happens in the masjid, in salah, when you're leading, that annoys you. You know. As a congregation that are going to be praying behind you this year, inshallah ta'ala, what advice would you tell these people? Hey man, don't do this for the Taraweeh, please. Leave it for me. So what are the things that Imam of Taraweeh are annoyed the most by from the congregation they pray, they lead in salah?
Sheikh, you're asking me to get beat up after this.
We'll protect you, inshallah. Don't worry. No, but seriously, when it comes to the congregation, sometimes people do things, out of good intentions, good heart, but Wallah, what are the things that you need basically from them to benefit?
From what I've heard, Sheikh.
From other imams, right? Other imams.
We discuss,
No.
From what I've heard, Sheikh, a lot of times, Sheikh, he just joked with me because he knows the same thing.
Oh my God.
When we get to the last three juz, everybody's hafiz. Surah Yasin, Subhanallah, the whole crowd is
hafiz. Everyone wants to correct the imam, right?
Stop for a second.
Just take a breath. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى قَوْمِهِ Right? Surah Al-Mulk, the whole jama'ah is hafiz.
MashaAllah.
عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُ But alhamdulillah, everybody's eager.
Allah
MashaAllah, the love of the Qur'an is very high. But I would say, Sheikh, to compliment that, when people are connected, like we said, Sheikh, to Qur'an, they don't have, like when somebody makes a mistake and they're not really focused about the imam making a mistake, but they're focused on connecting, they will realize that the mistake came, but they don't have the urge to correct because they're busy thinking, okay, this ayah is coming next, I want to focus on that. So I would say, I mean, alhamdulillah, I mean, the crowd usually don't, especially this crowd, nothing that me and Hamza, you know, really didn't like, but
alhamdulillah,
you know, connecting with the Quran is the best. And be prepared if some, if the imam is reciting another qira'ah, acts acceptable, Sheikh. I would say that the qira'ahs that we do, I'm sure that we're not making things up. We have our backing by our shaykh, alhamdulillah.
Your body this year is going to be different. Are you going to miss Hamza?
Hamza? I hope he's watching. I miss him very much.
So who's going to be leading with us tonight?
Inshallah, myself and we have Qari Ahmed Ali.
Inshallah.
Yeah, so he will be leading with us bi-ibnillah ta'ala.
May Allah bless you, Rabbil Alameen. Sheikhna.
My the dream team in here, mashallah.
My last question for you, inshallah ta'ala. A lot of brothers and sisters are eager, mashallah, to start this Ramadan and connect with the Quran. But you said that you're going to have to make it a lifestyle. You have to dedicate the time for it. Imam Shafi did 16 khatma, for example, in the month of Ramadan and so on. If you do that, husband and wife, they're going to be fighting all Ramadan. So how do we strike a balance here? What do you suggest in order for us to strike a balance for husband, wife, for mothers who have children as well too, between dedicating some time to the Quran and also taking care of themselves and their household and providing iftar for them and go to work and so on? How is it that we still in the month of Ramadan connecting with the Quran without feeling guilty that I'm not doing what Imam Shafi was doing? 60 khatm in the month of Ramadan.
Okay. We said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Number one, all that we're saying is just to encourage you for growth. We just want ourselves, I want, to become better than I was last year. No. That's all. It's growth. It's growth spiritually connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. So yes, we said this person did this many. Sheikh Abdul Rashid Sufi, his father was condemning his number. He actually said, I did 10 every 10 days. Oh. And his dad was like, nah, it should be every 7 days. Okay, guys, for us, it's about growth. Number one, inshallah. I want to become better. Ya Allah. And listen, ask Allah for tawfiq. Ask Allah. Oh Allah, give me tawfiq. The more sincerely you beg Allah for tawfiq, Allah will give you that. Allah will open that door for you. Don't leave it to yourself. Beg Allah, oh Allah, open that door. Number two, just, you know, our family dynamics are all different based on your culture and everything like that. But we need to understand the importance of helping everyone get the most fruitful and beneficial spiritual experience. Our wives, our daughters, our sons, our children, everyone in the family needs to be a part of that. And if, now I'm going to say a few things here. What that means is we all have to play a part in helping each other's schedules and reach what they want to reach. Mm-hmm. Your schedule ain't the most important thing, Habibi, Sheikh of the family. La, there's other people that spiritually want to become better too. And if you're qawwam like you claim to be, then qawwam lifts people up, Habibi. Helping them reach theirs. Not everyone just support my tarawih. Everything today is about my tarawih. The tea, the food, the this, the that. It's about me. La. It's about you and your family lifting everyone. So that means eat leftovers tomorrow. Oh, now they're not calling me back, Sheikh.
Allahu Akbar.
Eat leftovers tomorrow. That saves someone time. Right? Everyone wants to spiritually grow. Now, on the other hand, this is a month of connection with other people, as we spoke about before.
Yep.
So, spending time with family.
It's an act of ibadah as well.
That's ibadah too. So, of course, we're, you know.
And even when you prepare the meal, when you prepare the meal for the family, that's an act of ibadah.
Yeah, subhanAllah, we, the scholars.
When you obey your parents and your children, help your children with something, also an act of ibadah. So people shouldn't be feeling guilty.
Exactly.
For doing what they're supposed
this
to do.
Actually, I know we spoke about Ramadan, and you may be saying, I'm sure there's other Monday nights coming, you'll speak about other aspects. No. So that's why we focused on the Quran. But in fact, I personally feel, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. The month is about a month of renewal of intention and purpose and presentness. Be present with people. No. Be present with your children. So yes, of course, that's another Monday. I'm sure you'll be talking there, about
that. We have that a session, not the next session, the session after that.
There you go.
Which you're going to talk about preparing the household for the month of Ramadan and making the balance.
This is one aspect we really wanted everyone to get encouraged from right now. And I'll share something about my own self just to be with you guys on this. As of 3 weeks ago, I've upped my Quran reading.
Alhamdulillah.
Right? I just want that barakah.
And that's the month for Shaban to prepare
for. Just reading more, right? There may be one project I could work a little bit more on. I'm like, I did enough. The boss is happy. Don't worry, I'll just read a little bit more, right? It's giving more time to the
Sheikh, you want to get fired, Danny?
Don't want to lose my job, so I have to prepare to teach this guy.
No, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you, Sheikh, for these beautiful tips. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Brother Afdal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and make it easy for you to bring the best, inshallah, ta'ala, of Taraweeh for us in this year, binillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. This was our discussion today, this evening, on Ramadan and the Quran. Inshallah, azza wa jal, next week, binillahi ta'ala, we're having Brother Dr. Adir Raza, who is the president-elect of VRRC, inshallah, azza wa jal, will be taking over officially, basically, this week, inshallah, ta'ala. And also, Sheikh Abdullah Uduru, our neighbor imam from Kapel Islamic Center. We're going to talk about the masjid etiquette, inshallah ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan. From a technical perspective, as an idara, as an administration, what do we need to observe and know about our role as attendees of the masjid from that perspective, as well as, inshallah ta'ala, the religious responsibility we have towards our masjid and our community, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to be next week, same time, binillahi azza wa jal. We would like to call you all to join us. Jazakumullah khair, mashayikh. Thank you very much. Barakallahu feekum all. Please make sure to make dua for our mashayikh here, inshallah ta'ala, and for our community. And please don't forget also our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Protect them and shield them from all the harm, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.